Coaches on Demand.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
Anytime, all the time. It's The Beat on Demand on iTunes and WGNRadio.com.
All right, we had to do it. An emergency episode of The Beat on Demand because the trade we've been talking about for such a long time as something that should happen has happened in a way. Maybe we didn't nail exactly the Cubs side of it, but Jose Quintana has been traded from the White Sox to the Chicago Cubs. Mark Carman, Adam Hoge here. We had to just get this all out today. We couldn't wait till the weekend because this is a stunner, Carm. I mean, we've been saying forever this is the perfect trade. It needs to happen. What's your thoughts?
Adam, you know what? It's good for me right now to be able to talk to you to try to get my thoughts in order. My thoughts, hold on a second. We got a major car accident going on right now with two trucks who I think are very upset about Quintana and the Cubs giving up four prospects. But here, this is what I think. I think just like everybody else, it makes a ton of sense for the Cubs. It makes a ton of sense for the White Sox. And I just never thought it would happen because there was so much rhetoric out there saying they would never do the deal together. But it did make sense, and nobody stepped up to the Cubs' level. And the White Sox made a great trade for themselves, and the Cubs got a controllable starter for 3.5 years. So I think it's great for both teams, really.
I just never understood that rhetoric, and I think you and I were all over the idea that if there's something standing in the way between the Cubs and the White Sox doing a deal, it's not Rick Hahn and it's not Theo Epstein, because these two guys are just way too smart from a baseball standpoint to not examine something that would be good for their ball club. I mean, so if that was really the case, if it ever was, it had to be coming from above at the ownership level. And the White Sox are so far into this rebuild now, I just could not envision Jerry Reinsdorf saying, nope, you can't send Quintana to the Cubs just because I don't want to see him in a Cubs uniform. This just doesn't make sense. So,
if you go back in time, I mean, listen, they traded Sammy Sosa to the Cubs. And White Sox fans never really even freaked about that. You know, it's not like the franchise died. The White Sox won the division in 93 with George Bell, and Sosa had his career with the Cubs.
Yeah, and look, this is let's talk about Quintana on the Cubs side here first.
Okay.
He is, I've been saying this, he's a borderline 2 or 3 on a World Series winner. Okay? That's, I think, acceptable. I mean, if, you know, the part of this for the Cubs this year is Lester has to be better, Arrieta needs to be better, Hendricks needs to be better if they're going to do anything the rest of the way. But if that happens, if those guys rebound a little bit in the second half, then Quintana is going to be just fine. I mean, that's a pretty good 4 pitchers to roll with into the playoffs, right? So, but all that needs to happen here, and maybe they'll still add somebody else. We don't know. But they gave up a lot to get Quintana, but the reason why you're giving up so much, Carm, is because Quintana's still got 3 years left on this deal and only $30 million. He is a bargain at that price, and that's why he's commanding so much in this deal, and all along you knew that was going to be the case. So I think he fits the Cubs well because he's not just a 3-month rental here. He is going to be around pitching on the north side for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, I really think the Cubs make this deal if they're 10 games out. I don't think they're making the deal for this year at all. I mean, I think they're hoping that he helps them get in the playoffs this year. But even if you told Theo Epstein right now, hey, we'll do this deal, but I'm just going to tell you right now, you won't make the playoffs. I'm just going to give you, I won't tell you what's going to happen after that, but you're not in the playoffs this year. I still think he does it. They need pitching. They're losing, I mean, everybody knows they're losing Lackey. They're most likely losing Arrieta. Who's going to pitch for them? And you have all this hitting, so it makes it that much more of the Cubs being willing to do something with prospects down the line because they're in their window, as everyone says. And it's true, they are. Although I don't look at it like it's a 3-year window like that. Like, you're in like a 7-year window here. So And that's now they have a pitcher for 3.5 of it. It just makes it, again, it makes too much sense for them.
Yeah, I hadn't even really thought about it that way, but you're right. I mean, this is just as much about 2018, 2019 as it is this season, because of the guys you're losing. I mean, looking at it right now, Quintana might be your number two starter next season already. This is always made too much sense. I mean, and especially I have to wonder the whispers the last 2 weeks about the Brewers getting involved in Quintana, how much that pushed this to actually happen and how much that helped the White Sox actually pry away both Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease out of this deal from the Cubs. You know, I mean, I have to imagine these talks go back a while. Maybe they, you know, were put on hold, whatever. But whoever they've been talking about, and I think Rick Hahn did say that Jimenez, someone said today out of the two of them that Jimenez was always, you know, going to be the big piece of this trade. But I have to wonder how much the Brewers' involvement the last couple of weeks helped this pull the trigger.
Yeah, I don't think it certainly didn't have a negative impact. But, you know, it's real interesting listening to Theo when he was asked about that. He said, no, they were, you know, they knew the teams were involved. And the biggest thing that was going on is that they needed pitching and they wanted Jose Quintana. They've been calling on Quintana for a long time. And they called on Chris Sale. It was interesting to hear him say that, you know, Rick Hahn started that conversation with, you want Chris Sale, you're going to have to give up Chris Bryant, which, of course, Theo wasn't going to do. And so that's why I think Theo called him a surprising trade partner, because they figured that they would want to take assets off of the big league club right now. You can guess at it, right? It's got to be they figure they would want Javi Baez or Kyle Schwarber or whoever. And the White Sox changed their tune. Look, we'll take your Eloy and we'll take Dylan Cease. So, and they also, then you listen to Rick Hahn say that the Cubs package was far and away the best. And listening to Theo, I didn't really feel a lot of pain in his voice, Adam. I really didn't. Like, I think they were just thrilled to make the deal and they were very comfortable with what they gave up.
Well, look, the Cubs are pretty much set in the outfield. So I don't think, as good as Jimenez might be, they don't necessarily need him, and he's still in single A, so it's not like he's helping you tomorrow. And so I think that softens the blow a little bit. Same thing with Dylan Cease, who's in single A, low A. So these are actually a lot of the guys the White Sox have been picking up are, you know, project to maybe help even by the this year. You know, we're still talking about probably Moncada coming up at some point this year, probably still talking about a couple of these pitchers coming up this year. This is a more of a longer-term approach here, but you need to do that too. You can never have too many prospects, and obviously Jimenez immediately, and we're talking about a top-five prospect in all of baseball here already. So, I mean, you got to like it from the White Sox standpoint, because look, my reaction as a Sox fan who has watched Quintana very closely over the years is I think he's underrated. I think he's been one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball. I think he really helps a team like the Cubs, not only this year but going forward, as a very reliable pitcher that you're going to be able to depend on every 5 days and in the playoffs. He's just so consistent. But at the same time, when you look at the amount of pitching the White Sox have accumulated in their system, it's a no-brainer to turn him around for a top-five prospect and a guy in the outfield, which is something they need. So, again, it's just this makes so much sense. I guess I'm a little surprised you touched on this too, Carm, that this did not take anybody off the major league roster from the Cubs. A couple weeks ago, I think you were off, Harry was in, and I proposed a trade to him and JP. I said, Almora and Schwarber right now for Quintana, would you do it? And this is a much different type of trade that we have actually go down today.
Yeah, and it was obvious that the Cubs were not going to do something along those lines. But listen. I'm just going in my head. Would I rather have traded Almora and Schwarber than what the Cubs gave up? Maybe, because I'm not that high on Schwarbs right now, and Albert Almora, it's like Joe Maddon has a thing for him. But that's listen, the Cubs weren't, they had no interest to do that. Although Schwarber's been in the news this week, right? I mean, he's rumored to Detroit. So, Theo, I just, you know, as a, you know, looking at it from the Cubs side, you just have to have a ton of confidence in this guy. He's brought you a World Series for one and above everything else. But, like, it just seems that even on guys that he falls in love with, he's willing to do what he deems is reasonable. And he looks at it from 30,000 feet and he looked at it from, you know, 2 feet. And he makes his decisions. I think the Cubs are super comfortable with the deal, and I think the White Sox are too. And it'll be super interesting to see how it plays out. Because, you know, Jose Quintana is going to pitch against the White Sox at the end of the month there, Adam. Assuming he pitches in one of the first four games of, you know, after the All-Star break here, either against Baltimore or the first game in Atlanta for the Cubs, he's going to face the White Sox. If he pitches early, he'll face him at Wrigley. If he pitches on Sunday or Monday, he'll face him at Guaranteed Rate.
Well, that'll be interesting. That is a four-game series, two in both stadiums. And, yeah, I mean, there's probably a chance, as you lined it up, that he will go against the White Sox. And that's an extra little storyline to watch. Wasn't the John Garland was a Cub, too. Wasn't that a trade? John Garland
Matt for Kirchner. Matt Kirchner, 1998. I hated that trade from a Cubs standpoint. The White Sox were a huge winner in that one.
Yep.
As the Cubs sold low on Garland and got Matt Kirchner, who came over to the Cubs, drank in the clubhouse with Jeff Blauser on that sad-ass 98 team that got swept in the playoffs by the Braves. I couldn't stand that guy.
Oh, come on. That sad-ass 98 team? I mean, they made the playoffs. They won the wild card game against the Giants.
Yeah, and then they got bombed by the Braves. They were in one of the games. They were in game two, and that was it. They got smoked in game one with Matt Clark on the mound. And then game two, they got a bum call at second base. Morandini was safe. They might have won that game, Tappan, if it's great. And then Wood got smoked in game three, and then he blew out his arm, early next April.
You're not hurt about it at all, I can tell. this is gonna.
I just like it. It just feels, from a Cub fan standpoint, it just feels good to do things that make sense. And this may or may not work out, but it makes sense. You have to pay up to get a guy like Quintana. Even though, like, let's for the record just put it out there. He's 4-8. He's got an ERA in the mid-4s. He's a career 1.25 whip guy. I mean, you're not getting Chris Sale. You're getting Jose Quintana, who's a good pitcher, but he's not elite.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree. But I think he's a lot better than what you've been throwing out there mostly this season. So
that's true.
He's an upgrade, and you gave up nobody off your major league roster. I would start to wonder, maybe worry that, you know, that the farm system's starting to get depleted a little bit. I mean, it was so deep that you could afford to do this, but the Cubs are starting to get to the point where the assets are running dry in the farm system. I guess my point being that at some point you're going to have to give up somebody off the major league roster. I mean, if you're going to still pull off a deal for Verlander or something like that, you have to wonder if Schwarber would go in that type of deal, or somebody has to.
Yeah, the Verlander thing never made sense, though. They're not going to be paying $28 million for a 36-year-old Justin Verlander. That's like totally out of what they would do.
I agree.
Now, some of the Tigers' young pitching, if they're willing to take Kyle Schwarber back for, you know, their young 24-year-old, his name escapes me right now, well, okay, that would make sense. But I'd be shocked if Detroit would do that. I think the Cubs are going to add on more pitching. And to the depth of their farm system, I mean, listening to Theo talk today, Adam, he's saying, like, you know, what makes the Cease part of this a little bit, you know, less uncomfortable is we've had a really good year in the minors pitching-wise. Like, we're seeing a bunch of guys step up. So it's like you hear him say that, it's like, oh, okay. So they just, you know, we've got this guy, that guy, and this guy. We're willing to give up Dylan Cease. Like, it's just, you have to feel confident in the way they look at things.
Absolutely. And, you know, from the White Sox standpoint, I think you have to feel confident with what Rick Hahn's been able to do so far. Ultimately, it'll depend on how many of these guys turn out to be good players. But if I have the numbers correct, they have 9 of the top 100 prospects in baseball right now.
And you know who you heard that about? They would say that about the Royals. The Royals are stuck. They've got 9 in the top 100 or whatever. And then the Royals go on to win the World Series.
Yep.
And the Cubs, for a while, look at all these guys that they have. And then they went on to win the World Series. Like, the White Sox are in the position of winning the World Series in the next 5 years.
Yep.
And I think it's pretty obvious that that's the path the White Sox are on. Whether it happens or not, baseball's crazy. But they're certainly in position to do it.
And the Astros, too. I mean, they still have to go out and win it.
Right.
They haven't done it yet. But this was the same thing we had been talking about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Oh, the Astros are stockpiling prospects. And if you just look up and down their lineup right now, it's incredible. They were all out there on the – if you watch the All-Star game Tuesday night, they were all out there. And they're certainly in position here to win a World Series this year. Let's see if they can get it done. But it's the same type of deal. So if you're a White Sox fan, you got to be pretty happy. And the thing I always said about both Sale and Quintana, based on the window that Rick Hahn's creating here, so what? If you kept him, maybe he's there for the final year? Maybe that final year of the contract is when you're starting to talk about winning a World Series in 2020? You know, maybe 2019's the year where they, if they do what the Cubs did, they arrive a year early. You know, that's like best case scenario. So to me, it always made sense to move Sale, move Quintana, and bring back these hauls of prospects, which they've been able to do. And I still look at that Adam Eaton deal and wonder how the hell they pulled that off, because, I mean, if we're going to rank these guys, it's Sale way at the top, Quintana, and then Adam Eaton way down there.
Yeah, the Eaton deal was like, okay, Rickon, you are a godlike figure. How did you just do that for Adam Eaton? That was amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got the top prospect in baseball for Chris Sale. That's pretty good. So, you know, Rickon has proven himself to be incredibly capable at doing the rebuild. And Sox fans wanted it forever. And finally it came. And you give him an A+. To this point, he couldn't have done any better. And it'll be, we'll find out if he's right on his guys and if his scouts are right on his guys. But on paper, what he's done is just, it's basically spotless.
I'm just relieved, Carm, that it finally happened, because, I mean, we'd been told, like, back in February that it would happen before spring training even started. And then Quintana had a rough April, rough May. Always losing value. I think it's pretty clear he never really lost value, but certainly he had a strong June. There's a lot of Cubs fans today that seem to not be thrilled with this deal, and I think they're putting too much stock in April and May and not really looking at the broader, the bulk of Quintana's career, which has been very good.
Yeah, I'm kind of one of those Cub fans. My immediate reaction right when the deal went down was like, oh, no, are you kidding? But then, you know, you just kind of digest it all, and it's like, okay, well, and this is the price of poker, and, you're going to have to give up something to get something. That's the way it is. And so it's going to hurt when guys go, and it's probably going to hurt a lot more when you see Eloy at the cell hitting 3,000 feet home runs into the air and hitting it off the scoreboard. But, if Quintana pitches well and the Cubs end up somehow winning another World Series the next 3 years, well then, you know, it was worth it. And if you can't get around losing one outfielder and one young pitcher, then you're not doing your job as building your system anyway, even as elite as Eloy is. So, the trade makes sense, Adam. I think it's super fun just to have it on both sides and you get to watch it unfold for years.
Absolutely. And hopefully it'll start in a couple weeks with Quintana pitching against the White Sox. And then obviously like you said, we're going to be watching this for years as the White Sox get better. The Cubs hopefully stay around and stay relevant. Maybe we'll get a 2020 World Series game between the two clubs with Quintana pitching against Dylan Cease. How awesome would that be?
With Eloy at the plate.
Yes.
That'd be amazing.
Let's do it. I'll see you in 3 years, 4 years, whatever that is, and hopefully it happens. But it's a lot of fun for both sides. We couldn't wait to get on the air this weekend and talk about it, so we wanted to put this together for you today. But the beat will be on Saturday, 4 to 7, Sunday, 3-6. I imagine we'll be talking about this for most of the weekend. It's the big story, and it's a big trade, and what they said could not happen. How many people said, "Oh, that's never happening. The Cubs will never deal with the White Sox," maybe the other way around. The White Sox will never deal with the Cubs. Whatever it was, Rick Hahn and Theo Epstein, I think they know what they're doing, and they realize that this made sense for both teams.
They're so cool, the two of them, just having a nice texting and then a call while he's at, what was it, Epcot Center or whatever, and he huddles behind a tree. I want to be them. I really want to be them.
Yep.
These are great men.
Great baseball men. All right. For Mark Carmen, I'm Adam Hogue. Make sure you listen to The Beat this weekend on 720 WGN. Again, 4-7 on Saturday afternoon, 3-6 on Sunday afternoon. We'll have all the reaction. It's the big story of the weekend, The Beat coming up this weekend. For now, this has been The Beat on Demand.
This has been The Beat on Demand. Listen to The Beat on the air Saturdays and Sundays at 3 p.m. on 720 WGN.